Peter Cornelius, would you be so kind as to pray?
Father, thank you for this chance to speak to you. Thank you that we're all gathered here today. I just ask that you bless your word today. In the name of the prayer.
Amen. I don't really label my messages, but if I were to label one today, it would be called First Things First. And starting in verse 1, 2 Corinthians 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, an abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. Now, right off the bat, you take that apart. God gave these people grace. They're a very poor people. They don't have a lot of money. Okay? They're in affliction. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. Well, Kyle preached on that fellowship a week or so ago. And again, the people of Macedonia, they asked Paul and them, hey, would you take on this fellowship? You know, we've gathered this money for these people, and would you do this? But I want you to look at verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. First things first. The most important thing that these people did of Macedonia was gave themselves to the Lord. Everything else falls into place.
Amen. That's
right. Everything else just fits where it's supposed to fit.
That's right.
I've watched people give who have not given themselves to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm not against that giving. But it's so much more powerful when a person determines, do I belong to God?
Right.
Do I owe him everything?
Right.
Do I? And making that a thing between them and God. God, I give myself to you. Okay? I give myself to you. Once you've done that, everything else will fall into place.
Mm-hmm.
Giving falls into place. Fasting falls into place. The house of God falls into place. Your work falls into place. Everything falls into place because you belong to God.
Amen.
Say, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Do you belong to him?
Amen.
Have you resolved, you personally, when did you ever resolve that I belong to God? When did you ever resolve that? I belong to God. I belong to God. My relationship with my job, my family, my church, my health, my finances, my diet, all of it, all my friends, I belong to God. You say, well, I'm not even sure I'm saved. I'd first say, hey, I belong to God. God owns everything. God owns hell. Okay? David said this, yea, though I make my bed in hell, thou art there.
Amen.
And let me tell you something, I'm a man who made his bed in hell. And God was there. Okay? Do you belong to God? That's the first and most important thing you'll ever resolve in your life. Do you belong to God? Resolving that, knowing it. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, we're going to go to verse 28. The Sadducees, to get the context here, have been coming up here and trying Jesus Christ, trying, and people have been trying to poke through and get him to make mistakes or whatever else, and He's come through this with the word of God. Verse 28, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. You know, too often we get mixed up church and God. They're not the same. They're not synonymous.
Yeah.
Okay. Coming to church isn't serving God. It's just coming to church. And yet, if you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, all thy strength, and you belong to God, you'll want to be in the house of God. You'll want to be with the people of God. You'll want to hear the things of God. You belong to him. This is part of you. This is what you are. This is your identity. Not just something you do to check off that you did during the week or whatever else. And if you do belong to God, are you in the right church? I challenge everybody here. Are you in the right church today? Are you where God would have you to be? Are you there? Okay. Is that where God would have you to be? Now, I'm the pastor of this church. I have a deeper obligation to it, a contractual obligation, a scriptural obligation, a constitutional obligation here. If this church wasn't the best church, I'd be trying to find out why. And I don't mean that there's other churches around that aren't as good as us or whatever else. But I know this is where God wants me. I know that. Okay, I've reckoned that. I know that. I remember sitting there, what's my office now? The men would meet there and pray on Wednesday nights. There's only three or four men. And Paul Gordon asking me, would you be our pastor? Okay. And my thought was, out here in the middle of nowhere. Okay. And I got home and God grabbed my heart and said, no, you will be their pastor. You will be their pastor. And I personally at that time thought, well, God's just putting me somewhere where I'll never be seen or heard from again. That was my thought, okay? I'm just going somewhere where, you know, nothing will come of that or whatever else. And I told the elders, I said two things. I said, every word I say is going to be recorded at that church. It's going to be a teaching ministry, okay? And I told the people of the church, the pastor who was here before me, told them, oh, cut down the trees. You'll need a bigger parking lot. You'll need all this. And pastors always promise that kind of thing. There's churches all over this area who've been promised everything by every man of God that ever came in. This is what they were going to do, okay? And then when it's all said and done, there's a group of people stuck with the bills and a pastor that's taken off for somewhere else. And they're a little jaded when the next one comes in and promises them the world.
Yeah, that's
okay?
Right.
A little bit jaded about that.
Yeah.
And I told them, I said, I don't promise you that God will add anybody to this church. And I said, I'm not so much interested in going out and getting the people out there that already been in churches and such. I'd rather see the farm boy in the back of a hay wagon somewhere right now. I'd rather see that person converted, okay, right, and brought in. Okay, maybe that's you, Kyle, all right? All right, but I'd rather see that person converted, and I'd rather see that person come in and us to build a church with those people. Amen. And over the years, God has been gracious in that. But I challenge you, is this the right church for you? Is this what God wants you to be? Okay. If you belong to God, that's a serious question.
Yes, it is.
If you belong to him and you put him first, and you're going to serve him with all your soul, mind, and strength and heart, is this where God wants you to be? It goes on, it says this, verse 31, and the second it is like, the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, there is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he, and to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, all the soul, and all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Mm-hmm. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. No man after that durst ask him any question. Now, isn't that fascinating? He didn't just sit there and lead them in the Romans road right away.
Right.
He said, you're not far from the kingdom of God. You're beginning to understand. God's getting ready to deal with you. God's getting ready to do something with you. Okay? Mm-hmm. He's looking at Jesus Christ and soul winning. That's what you're looking at. Mm-hmm. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Kings 18. First Kings chapter 18. Randy Kenyon doesn't know a lot about the Bible, but he knows that chapter's in between 17 and 19.
Well, at least you're not singling out Mr. Dan, so give her a break.
There we go. That's right.
Next time.
Don't worry about it.
Gotta love it. 1 Kings chapter 18, look at verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said unto them, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. And if Baal, then follow him. You know, sometimes the man of God has to go to the people and challenge them. Where's God in all this? Where's God in all this? My mentor used to look at me sometimes, he'd say, motives. Motives. What are your motives? Why do you do what you do? What are your motives? Why do you do it? Okay? Has a lot to do with everything. Okay? You know that man that says, eat and drink, saith he unto thee, but his heart is not with thee. That was, you know who did that? King David did that. He did it to Uriah the Hittite. Eat and drink, saith he unto thee. But his heart wasn't with Uriah the Hittite.
Right.
He wanted to kill Uriah the Hittite. Mm-hmm. Or he wanted Uriah the Hittite to go sleep with his own wife so that it would hide the fact David got her pregnant. Okay? And Solomon remembered that. Okay? Motives. Why do you do what you do? Why are you here? Is it for God? Is it what God wants you to do? I loved that testimony that the Holmes gave about going on vacation. That was as dear to me as anything from all last year, okay? What was that? They'd heard from this pulpit just that challenge, and it happens all the time. Someone moves. Well, I'm getting a good job in Kansas City, and you know, you find a school, you find a house, and all that kind of stuff, and then you get there, and I get the phone call. We can't find a church. Yeah, it wasn't very important to you, was it? Wasn't very important where you went to church. So what the Holmes do? Before they went on vacation, they researched and found a church. And they loved their vacation, met people of God, and it was full to them and wonderful to them. And again, that's one of the dearest things I heard in the last year, just with that idea. Why? Because it's important. Okay? It's important.
Amen.
Serve God. Baal's God, serve him. Okay. If I thought that the claims of the Muslims were true, do you think I'd stay here? If I thought that Muhammad was really a prophet, do you think I'd stay here because I need to or what? No, I wouldn't be here. If I thought the claims of the papacy were true, do you think I'd be here? No. I'd be down at the local Catholic church and I'd do whatever I had to do. I grew up in a home where my father used to tell us, as long as you live in this home, you're gonna come to church with us, okay? And again, I don't believe in Roman Catholicism. But by golly, they have some grit in their craw. They're in the house of God when they're supposed to be, more than most people are, all right? And some of you that grew up in Catholicism, you know that, okay? It's just one of the things, you go to church. And, you know, when Ash Wednesday, you go there with those ashes on your forehead. And on Fridays during Lent, you know, you don't eat meat with your friends and that kind of stuff. And you endure that. You put up with that. And you go through that because you believe it's the right thing. And if I thought that was the right thing, that's what I would be doing. I'm not here because of some cultural affinity or something of that sort. Or, you know, this is where all my friends are or it's convenient to me or anything else. I'm here because I believe that this is where God would have me to be. And I would like to think that each and every person sitting here is here because this is where God wants you to be. Okay? Not because you put this church first, but because you put God first. You belong to God. Your life is in His hands. You're going to do whatever He wants you to do. God. And Elijah said to the people, I remain a prophet, that's verse 22, of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now it's a shame that Elijah had to say that, and at one point he thought he was alone, and the Lord told him, no, there's 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Mm. And by the way, that's the 7,000 that go fight two chapters from here. It says all the children of Israel, 7,000. Mm. The real children of Israel, 7,000, and not a one of them died. And you want to know something? It's harder and harder and harder to find churches where any man of God is standing there anymore preaching the word of God as it ought to be. Okay? It's very hard to find. They're still out there. I love it when I find them. Love it when I see them. Okay? But for the most part, most of them are just institutions existing for themselves. Okay? Just carrying on those institutions. And that's just something that goes on over and over again. But I'd rather have that remnant, that 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to the image of Baal, okay? And be part of that than to be any other thing. So Elijah says, I only alone, okay? Verse 23, let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it in wood and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. So he's making a challenge. Prophets of Baal, you take one bullock, you put it over there, put fire under it. I'm going to take another one, I'm going to put fire under it. But we're not going to put fire on it, we're going to let God light the fire. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, verse 24. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered that it is well spoken. That thing again we looked at in Sunday school. The Jews require a sign. They need that. And Elisha said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves. Address it first, for ye are many. And call on the name of your God, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which they made. By the way, that's what's going on in so many churches today. They can't get a hold of God, so they're dancing and leaping and doing all that kind of stuff. Okay, why? Because they can't get a hold of God. God won't answer them. Right? So they just get there and everybody, you know, and all this kind of nonsense, whatever else, because they're not hearing from God. Verse 27, it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking or he is pursuing, or he's on a journey, or peradventure sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed upon them. By the way, there's your answer to why cutting goes on today. Yes. It's people calling upon a God that does not answer.
Right.
It's people calling on a God that does not answer them, does not commune with them, will not answer them, cannot answer them. And then the bitterness and the agony of that, they're cutting. Okay? Behold your God. He's spoken of in the words of a King James Bible. Okay? You want to get over that agony? You want to get over that nonsense? Submit yourself to the God of the King James Bible. The God that sailed across the seas with the pilgrims. All right? The God of the martyrs of the Smithfield fires. All right? Go ahead and get a hold of this God. You won't have to be relying on all that nonsense you've relied on before.
That's right.
Learn some psalms. Learn some songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fill your house with the songs of Zion. Your heart with the songs of Zion. Sing those things. Take a hymnal. Let me tell you something. We got a lot of hymnals here. We recently ordered some more. Those red hymnals here. I've never had a person ask me if they could take one home that I didn't say yes. Okay? And you know what? Sit down sometime on the edge of your bed when you'd be cutting yourself and sing one of those songs to God. Sing to God. Sing to the God of Israel. Sing to the God of this book. Okay? And of this church. Because he is the God of this church.
Yeah, that's right.
Verse 28 again. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed upon them. And it came to pass when the midday was past that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. And there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. Oh, but men fill that void, don't they? God won't answer, so they answer. God won't answer, so they answer. I don't know if some of you have awakened to the idea that American Christianity isn't what it was 10 years ago. American Christianity isn't what it was 20 years ago.
God help us.
Okay? The great churches have fallen.
Yes.
Yeah. The old men of God are dead. Okay? I talk sometimes. Talked to Brother Vernon, Brother McVeigh, and we realized that these men that we followed, and I don't mean poorly followed, they're great men of God. Okay? They're dead. They're gone. We're the ones that take their mantle, and never has there been a lesser generation to carry the mantle of God. Never has there been a lesser generation to have to stand for the things of God that we have to stand for today. But never have men of God had to stand in any time in English-speaking history in such a godless society as we live in.
Yeah.
Never. I was reading an article talking about the difference between South Dakota and North Dakota. And they were talking about some of the reddest states in America. 90% of the people vote Republican. And yet they mutilate their children with these new laws.
Right.
Stunning.
Yeah. Wicked.
Stunning. Wicked beyond anything. Ronnie's been studying that very issue. Okay? And I don't mean just a little bit, I mean reading in-depth books on that issue. Okay? Where does it stem from? It stems from homes that have completely fallen apart. It stems from children now immersed in pornography until they're so confused on what they even are anymore. It comes from children sitting there getting all their stuff from social media. Okay? And very little input from families. Now, when I went to school, old Elmer Francisco used to be the pastor here. Old Elmer Francisco drove bus number 19, and he'd pull up in front of our house, and we'd get in there probably somewhere about 7 o'clock in the morning. And we'd drive all over Machias and things, and finally 45 minutes, hour later, get dropped off at the school. And so then somewhere about 3 o'clock, we'd get dropped back off at home again. And 5 days a week, we spent 10 hours with our peers, 50 hours a week out of 168 hours. You know who I was with the rest of the time? My family. My ideals came from my family. Okay? My thoughts came from my family. My culture came from my family. Do you know how much children are immersed with their peers today? Almost every waking moment. The only time they're not is when they sleep. Dr. Leonard Sachs, that great Jewish doctor and psychologist, lives in Maryland. He said the number one problem with young women today is sleep deprivation. Sleep deprivation? He said, yeah. He said, he tells parents, you must make their rooms electronic-free environments.
Yeah.
He said they don't dare go to sleep because they'll miss what happened to Sally Sue. And when they get on the bus in the morning, they're the only one who doesn't know what happened to Sally Sue. And they're just awake all night. Okay? All night. When we first got here to this church,